This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up, Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, focused on elevating our communication and our leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, we are doing the official part three of our three-part series on checklists. And this is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to talk about the verbal inspection protocol. And look, today, of all days, to be recording this episode, my day began immediately with a property inspection. Actually, it was a pre-inspection for an investment property my wife and I are looking at. And before making the offer that we intend to make, we wanted to have an inspection done on a couple things so that we can have a nice solid offer. And because it's pre-inspection and because it's going to be quick, efficient, and somewhat cost-effective with contact from our realtor, it's going to be a verbal inspection. Unreal, right? You've been talking about this verbal element in inspections for a while now. And when the realtors tell me, yeah, it's just going to be a verbal inspection, I'm like, oh, really? Whereas other people are like, oh, shoot, I kind of wanted something written down. I'm all in. And so I went over there and met the guy. Hilarious guy, by the way. The inspector's name was Sean, and he made it very clear that he was spells his name the proper Irish way, because I asked him, how do you spell Sean? My brother's name is Sean. My brother spells S-H-A-U-N, which evidently is the English phonetic spelling, not the very Irish way. The S-E-A-N, according to Sean, the inspector, is the correct way. And we'll let that debate hang for now. But comical guy immediately. Enjoyable, and he is a consummate professional as he moves through the inspection. But look, in this moment, I'm going with him through the house. He's asking me specific areas that I wanted to know about as he goes through his routine as well. And so I am literally functioning as a scribe in this case, taking down the notes. And room by room, he goes through, he's calling out what he's seeing. He's describing some of the things that he sees, other cases that he has seen as he's talking through some things. And in the transition between rooms, before we walk into the next one, we're talking about, you know, what to do about those sort of things, and we move on. I didn't plan this. I'm not staging a metaphor for you in this episode. This is just what happened to me today on the exact day I'm finally recording this particular piece about verbal inspections. And I was literally carrying a conversation with the guy later on about how, yeah, you know, actually doing a verbal inspection like this is something I very much want to coach and train in the automotive industry, automotive repair specifically. Let us talk about what this actually is and why I think it is the thing our industry needs to get good at before some other things come along. And I do have a word of the day today, and it is in the P in that verbal inspection protocol acronym, VIP, the word protocol. Protocol is the word of the day. And we will define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. AutoFlow is your partner in technology. With AutoFlow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how AutoFlow makes it simple, visit AutoFlow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound, AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit CallInbound.com. Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve.
Advanced Shop Leadership's 20 groups connect high-standard shop owners with real peers and real accountability. George Kingman is intentional about who's in the room. Find out if you qualify at ASL.coach.
Okay. We are back, and protocol is our word of the day. And the definition officially on this, it's an official or established procedure, a set of rules governing how something is done correctly and consistently, especially in situations where precision and accountability matter. Yes, obviously, I picked this word very much on purpose today. But etymology-wise, this one's kind of fun. The word comes from the Greek proto colon. I'm not a Greek specialist. K-O-L-L-O-N. So protos evidently is the meaning. It means first, and colon meaning glued. Protocolon was literally the first leaf glued to the front of a papyrus scroll. So it's a sheet stating who made the document under what authority. They glued it on before anyone else ever touched this. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing, because when you think about etymology of why I pick some of these words, like this particular case, it's the thing that comes before the process that explains the thing to a new person that's coming into it. So they have greater context to why it is this way. It defines that process. Okay. Now, here's where you probably think I'm going to go next. Verbal stuff, voice dictation. I've done episodes on this before. Natural language, spoken findings flowing straight into a digital inspection form. And look, that stuff's coming. Technology's getting easy on that front, actually. And thanks to the things like AI layers in applications, or we will call an AI layer, Model Context Protocol, an MCP. This is going to be in every piece of software. Every smart device that you have, in every application where someone has to type something. And I am a fan of that. It will be great. But I'm a bigger fan of something else, and that is interpersonal communication, accountability between people, efficiency with our humans in the loop. And let's keep them in the loop and leverage AI tools. So not AI tools replacing a role that we're going to talk about today. And that's really the distinction. A natural language parser, it solves some translation problems. It turns speech into text. What it cannot do is put a second set of eyes, ears, and hands into the bay with a vehicle with the specialist. It cannot catch what one person's tunnel vision might miss because it's not present. It's just a listening tool. And here's the real reason I want to talk about the verbal inspection protocol now. And that is because ahead of the AI revolution that is just ahead, I have the realization that we really are just not good at doing verbal inspections yet in auto repair. Look at it this way. I really feel the goal has been, for at least really pronounced in this past year, the goal is hands-free inspections. I want for an inspection specialist to never have to set down a flashlight or wipe their hands off to pick up a tablet or a smartphone. The real glory days of the paper inspections of the past is that you just did the inspection and then told the story on the paper. And that's why it felt so fast. You just did your inspection very quickly and then were able to tell it on the paper. And while I teach something of a similar premise digitally, doing a thorough inspection, remembering what you want to take pictures of and telling the story on the tablet, then it's faster when you don't go line by line and back and forth. The fastest way is to never have to pick up any instrument at all. And look, when you can measure tread depth, when you can pull a dipstick out and wipe it without having to constantly break your routine and rhythm to go and fiddle with a device, that's going to be something that helps you be a lot more efficient. And how do we do that? We still need to capture pictures. Well, this is where a second person comes in. And that second person isn't just some random person on the team. They have a real role here. And I don't want you to think of the second person as like a placeholder for coming AI technology either. I think that would be a wrongness to look at it that way. And it fails to capture why that second person is actually the real key in this whole thing. And I'm not naive either. I do think that eventually tools like AI could become so sophisticated that they're literally like participants in an active and dynamic conversation, capable of holding us to some greater levels of accountability in our AI workflows. But I do believe that just if people are trying to jump over that, having a human in the loop here and go straight to AI, you're going to struggle. And I don't think the technology is going to be there too fast to make it worth waiting for the technology to be there to begin doing something like what I'm talking about now. Start now. And here's how it's going to look. There's two roles on every inspection, not necessarily every minor inspection, but like when you're doing your comprehensive vehicle inspections that you do on intake and certainly on quality control out of the vehicle, there's two roles, an inspector and a scribe. Those are the definitions of the roles. The person performing the inspection, hands on the vehicle, calling out what they find, obviously, that's the inspector. That's easy. The person capturing it, holding a tablet or a mobile device or whatever checklist you're using, that is going to take down the notes and findings and recommendations. This is the scribe. And they may even be that interface between an AI layer as well. This person will be engaging the AI tools while the inspector is still just being the inspector. But simple as that sounds, giving these two roles actual names, it matters here because it's what lets a shop start to train for them, assign them, and actually build accountability around those roles instead of just, hey, whoever's free, take notes for me type of thing. Like, this is a role. It has a purpose. People will learn that purpose and how to perform that role adamantly. So let's look at it the way I think is going to be the easiest way to train for this, because I think it's a little different. People who have not done team-based inspection, where there's multiple people inspecting and calling out things, like there's a lot of different variations of this. I think the approach I'm taking is going to start to clarify some differences. But look, it actually harkens back to one of my earliest experiences doing DVI. One of the first things I ever did in my family's transmission shop was I taught our apprentices the new digital tools. Our technicians, our specialists working on the vehicles, they didn't have to learn the new software initially. What I had the apprentices do is take the tablets, have the inspections on the tablets, and then basically be the scribe for the existing experienced specialists that we had. And this was a two birds, one stone approach. I had to train these apprentices on how to do a proper inspection. Who better than to shadow an apprentice with our master technicians? They were learning from the technician while the technician also got to see what we're doing on the digital platform at the same time. It was wonderful. And so the easiest way to do the scribe inspector model here is a similar approach. Let your newest person on the team function as the scribe while your existing specialist perform those inspections. Your apprentice runs the tablet or the checklist. Your experienced technician performs the inspection without ever having to put down his flashlight or his rag and grab a device. They're going to be able to move faster, especially since these young guys are so fast on these devices. They'll be able to think more clearly because their hands and their attention stay on that vehicle the whole time. And the person taking notes moves fast too, because they're not the one crawling under the car and back out again and all that things. They're very capable of taking the inputs and putting them into the device. And speed is going to happen, but it's not the only prize here. Your apprentice is not just like holding a clipboard and taking down notes. They're hearing how a seasoned technician actually thinks through what they find in real time with real vocabulary on a real vehicle. And that's the kind of training you can't get from a manual. So the scribe role is an awesome apprentice mechanism, in addition to becoming something that's going to help your team be more fast, thorough, efficient, and consistent with your inspection. So I want to say this clearly. The scribe is not just there to write things down. And I'll repeat it. The scribe is not just there to write things down. They are a key party of the inspection to make sure killer items don't get skipped. And killer items is the exact term that authors like Adel Gawande and the Checklist Manifesto describe in the medical field as those things that if you miss it, like, people's lives are at stake. And true or false, we have those issues here too. We discussed this in some of our earlier episodes. We can't let those items get skipped. And if something does get skipped, the scribe, even though maybe they are new apprentices in your business, they are the ones who hold the inspector accountable for missing something or skipping over it. Think about what that means for just a moment. A newer, less experienced person has a role to stop someone with more seniority, more skill, and say to them, stop, you skipped something. And when that something might be a detriment to the integrity of a client's vehicle, that's potentially life-saving power and a strong sense of purpose for a new person on our team. I would say this, true or false, the millennials and Gen Z, they want to have a sense of purpose with the team. Yes, it's true. In a previous episode, we talked about the operating room checklist. It's the same sort of principle. A nurse withstanding can halt a procedure regardless of who is holding the scalpel. So we're echoing that here. Now let's talk a little about the format of how this goes. Like, what does this actually look like when an inspector and a scribe are doing this? Well, there's a lot of structure to this, and there's a format that will evolve over time. And this is fine if it looks different from shop to shop. I've built an entire workbook with a generic format that I want to put to test in several shops and then evolve it. And I'm going to get multiple people that are already starting this having some different opinions right out of the gate already is happening. But what does a call actually sound like when the inspector's doing something? I think just when you're practicing this at first, the simplest way of explaining this is that you're going to cover location, the component, the condition it's in, the flag, like the status color that it is, and then a recommendation eventually here. But in practice, most inspection points are not like one component. Think about this. As you go through this, you will start to hit these moments. Brakes are a terrible example of a single word standing for a whole assembly. Left front brakes, right? That means we have pads, we have rotors, we have calipers, we have hardware, hoses, all sorts of things at minimum. So a real call sounds something more like left front brake pad, 3 millimeters, no warping on the rotor, calipers are rusty, marking it red, flagging red or something like that. Notice what happened there. Like three separate components were just listed in rapid succession. And this is going to happen to you as an inspector is moving quickly through a car. Three separate observations, one flag at the end. The flag is your overall judgment on the whole assembly, not just like each individual component of that. There may be separate judgment calls on those pieces that need to get discussed and that can. What we don't want to do is break the flow of the information that's coming during the inspection. And that's basically the rule that helps make this manageable. If everything at some point is like good, for example, you can say so quickly, like left front brakes, good. That covers a lot of those components. Hopefully it is thoroughly examined. You're not required to necessarily slow down where there's nothing to report. But the moment one component fails, the call kind of has to expand with it. A simple flag can't speak just for that whole structure and assembly of that. You owe the scribe the full picture once something's wrong. And pads and rotors kind of go hand in hand on that. Even though the line item on your inspection form might not say pads and rotors, you might have separate line items for every single thing. You don't need to necessarily call out the verbiage for every single line, if that makes sense. You're going to float naturally through this stuff, but be as descriptive of that main component assembly as you need to be. And build this out with your team in a way that supports how you're communicating this stuff. There's a rhythm to this too, and calls need to kind of be fast and uninterrupted, but they need to be verbally confirmed that they're heard and read back. You do not have to stop like mid-inspection to work out what to recommend while you're still hands-on with the car. The recommendations can be discussed later. Instead, finish all the calls in an entire zone. We'll talk about zones here in a minute. But then you close out that zone by talking through the recommendations on whatever was flagged in that zone. And only then you move on to the next zone. Kind of like I was talking about earlier with that inspector in the house. Our zones in a home are rooms. And let's talk about zones on a car now, because you will have to define these. I'm not going to hand you a rigid four-zone template and tell you it's the only way. Zones are the actual physical stages of your inspection that you're going to naturally move through. For me, this is like the walk-up portion is a zone. The underhood component is a zone. Under car is a zone. For shops that use other things, like you might have lowered, mid-rise, and raised, that's okay. Some shops skip the mid-rise entirely, do tread depth and everything else on the walk-up and whatever. There's lots of different ways of doing this, but define your zones and don't close out of a zone unless all the components in it that are supposed to be checked have been verbally confirmed as good or verbally confirmed as otherwise. And if anything was skipped that shouldn't have been, you go back and do that before you close out and move on to the next phase. And this is a really important part of the process that you are able to do that. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide, to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected, while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com.
Advanced Shop Leadership has built a 20-group experience designed to keep delivering. George Kingman put serious thought into the structure, the culture, and the kind of owners who belong in the room. Shop owners inside ASL are growing their businesses, strengthening their teams, and building towards something most of them hadn't found yet, a shop that runs well and a life that feels full. If that's what you're after, see if ASL is the right home for you at asl.coach.
Then we get into the talking bit here. So this is where it was really, really kind of fun. I've done this in a workshop now, and I've seen this awkwardness that comes as you speak through an inspection. This is why I think it's kind of funny when people think like, okay, we're just going to use voice dictation really well inside of this application because it's there. And sometimes it's very uncomfortable to dictate messages. And if you're training on how to speak through this, don't start with the whole inspection sheet that you're already using. I would strongly encourage just start getting good at communicating through one entire zone. When I do this in workshops, just because it's safer and easier with a group of people in a shop environment, we usually have the vehicle lowered and we just practice speaking through that walk-up portion. And that's one of the easier things to do. And I find that within a few practice sessions, people are doing a fine job at it. But if you do try to do the whole sheet and start speaking through the whole thing, you're going to fall into the exact trap that we fall into whenever we're working on this stuff. You get lost in every detail on every single line item, and you feel a break in a rhythm, and it's going to feel super awkward. You got to slow down. And actually, literally the same thing happened in Gawande's book when you had surgeons in an operation theater trying to implement checklists for the first time. It's like, oh, this is awkward. They got a person literally on the operating table asking if everything's going okay. You all seem confused. It's perfectly normal for this to feel super awkward. The funniest thing, and this I've noticed this in the workshops as well, here's the part where it's going to feel most uncomfortable, I feel like, to most technicians. It's not speaking about the red findings that we find. It's reporting on the green stuff verbally while we're seeing it good. We train people mostly to speak up when something's wrong. That is when it feels like, okay, I have to say something important here about this thing. Narrating something that is fine feels pointless at the moment. It's almost like you're just like talking through your thoughts as you're moving through the car. And that's actually probably the best way to put it. It's like you're stating obvious things. So it's funny because in the workshop, when we're doing this, the first group that started to move through, the guy's doing the tread depth, he's checking the PSI, there was nothing out of the ordinary. He's already starting to move on to the next car. He hasn't said anything about calling out what the tread depth was or what the PSI was, because it wasn't bad. So this is something to watch out for. I think that's kind of just an interesting thing. And if you look at your DVIs now, today, or any of your inspection forms, and you realize that, like, yeah, everything that's green never has a note, it's common behavior. Go back, encourage your teams to start, say something nice about the things that are green periodically. The beautiful part about moving through an inspection verbally while someone else is taking notes is you just speak it. It's not like you have to break rhythm and then go type it in that field. This is going to happen without like you having to filter anything out of your phrases. Pretty cool. If nobody says anything, the scribe really has no way to know whether that tire was actually checked and found fine, is why it's a problem for this sort of an approach. If it wasn't looked at closely, like saying it out loud is what turns a private assumption into a verified, accountable observation. And think about recording these things and saving that recording in the future. If you have this ongoing video that later parses out individual images as necessary, like this is where the technology is going. And smart glasses get there, it's going to be all kinds of cool tools to get some capture of what this discipline is trying to teach us to do. Okay, so let's move on to the flags. I lecture on this a lot, and so I'll keep it very brief here. The colors, green, yellow, red, or some people call it green, amber, red, these flags, these statuses, put a term to them. I started calling them flags for this purpose here because we're flagging something as this, that, or the other thing. You have to say what each one means. And for me, green means it's good. It's been checked. I actually looked at it and confirmed it's good. And it is a sin in any shop I'm working with if someone is marking things green that they didn't look at and verify is good. That is not tolerated behavior at all. So green means I've checked it and it's good. Yellow, it's a maintenance item. And I started to make this distinction for a while. And I know there's some people out there who might want to disagree. We can debate this fine. Happy to actually debate you if you want to email us on the show and we'll have that discussion. We're going to have a good, clean debate. We can do it. Maintenance item. It's not due yet. It's due soon, making you aware of that. Red means there's something wrong with it we can make better, or it's past due or due right now. And the one thing I try hard not to do is I do not let red and yellow double as a severity scale. In fact, we would need a wide variance of colors in order to accomplish this. A flag answers a category question, good, maintenance, or needs correction. Good, maintenance, or needs correction. Severity is a separate axis. If the technician does not offer it, the scribe can ask for a number, 0 through 10, 10 being the most severe. This solves a lot of problems when you go with, all right, cracked CV boot, red. Okay. Right. Confirmed. Cracked CV boot. Red. What's the severity? Severity, it's about a 3. Okay. Got it. Noted. Confirmed. This keeps the flag system simple, and it still gives the advisor and the scribe, who may be the same person, by the way, a way to prioritize when there's a lot of red on a sheet, but not severe red items. It helps the client understand whether they need to take care of that thing now or later, not with a color. You run yellow lights, you don't run a red one, I hope. Quality control now. So hopefully that's clear. We talked about zones. We talked about flags, categories and locations and all those sort of things. One other note I do want to make on types of calls and language that we're using, though, the recommendations. Like I was talking to you earlier, between zone is when I would start making the recommendations and making sure those are noted in there. And the reason I want to do that in zone transition, not between components, is because I want to be able to continually move efficiently through that inspection. And there's usually a little time as we move between zones on a car where the hoist is going up or the lift is going up or the hood is being opened or whatever it is. There's that little bit of time that we can discuss the recommendations there, and that's good use of that time when before it was not productive at all. Hopefully that makes sense. You'll find your own groove on a lot of this sort of thing. These are my suggestions. As we round up, I hope you're starting to see like, oh, okay, wow, all right. Yeah, two people seems less efficient, but it actually is going to speed up the technician. It's going to be able to allow for estimates to be written much quicker because you don't have the inspector doing the inspection, passing it to the advisor, unknown amount of time passing between that happening. And then that advisor picks up, spends a bunch of time reviewing it anyways. We're blending that time together. It's happening together. And we move immediately into a more rapid speed of service to get an estimate in front of our clients and get some prompt approvals. Things will go well. This is fact. It's being proven. I assure you, this is worth the struggle, but it is going to be a little bit of a struggle to implement. I think there's an easier way, though. I think you can actually practice this, if not on the front end inspections, on the back end inspections that we should be doing. And I speak about this quite a bit, the quality control. And I recommend these being done digitally, of course, because of the nature of my daytime career. But however you're doing quality control, it's one more application of the same principle, and I think it is the one that's probably most valuable that you could put into practice starting right now, literally this week, right now, today. It's probably way easier, and it's the quality control. Quality control forms are not used nearly enough in this industry, but one of the most catastrophic failures that can happen in a shop is what? Think about it. What's the most terrifying thing? I'm going to look at you tire stores very specifically. It is not one of the most terrifying mistakes that our team can make, having a wheel off scenario. Client's going down the road and the wheel falls off and they are at risk of mortal injury. So if your shop has seen this or has commonly faced this and been fortunate enough to catch it before it goes down the road, you need a strict torque check protocol. And I think the verbal inspection protocol is something that you can employ right away. So if you need a form to start guiding this, that's one thing. But I just want to take you through a simple example here. Like we already talked about why it's hard for a technician to grab yet another checklist mid-job. So calling for a lookover with another individual, that's someone that becomes your scribe for quality control, running a checklist while the torque sequence happens, this actually is much easier that way rather than doing the thing, then going to a form and everything else. You get someone there, they're functioning as your scribe, and we're going to talk torque sequence. So ideally, it could be something like this. Just imagine we're in the shop and I'm calling for assistance on wheel torque. And someone says, hey, all right, I'm on my way. I say, okay, initiating torque sequence. And you have fun with that. I don't care. Start sounding like your pilot talk. Initiating torque sequence, please confirm vehicle specs. Might be already written down. The prep work was done. The specs are probably there. And they confirm, all right, scribe says torque spec for this vehicle's 90 foot-pounds. Okay, confirming 90 foot-pounds. Dial it in on your wrench. Beginning torque check. Okay, torquing left front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Clicking the wrench or the beep of the wrench on each lug that they're checking. Left front set. Left front confirmed. Left front confirm. Torquing right front. We move to the right front. Do the same sequence again. You do that all around the car. You know, when I did this in a workshop, the whole process took just under a minute. Just under 1 minute. 1 minute. Verbally speaking out loud. Super cool, actually, seeing that team to click and the calling out. All right, left front set. Left front. This is like this military-like process and precision. Concludes with like, all right, all wheels torque verified, 90 foot-pounds, torque check complete. Done, closed, right, finished. Now, when you run that sequence, if you do something like this, literally just like do it, 15 cars today, do it. Run that off enough and it starts to sound like that military precision. And I would want that happening with an earshot of where our clients are picking up or dropping off their vehicles. If there's a waiting area and you can perform something like this near that area, oh my gosh, right? Like the people in the lobby are going to be like, all right, that's really cool. The confidence that they're going to have for the quality of the output that you are going to deliver is going to be through the roof. And true or false, you might be the only shop in the area doing anything ridiculous like this because you listened to a funny podcast. Yeah. No, I think this is absolutely game-changing. But ask yourself this. Does hearing that build confidence in the client? And would someone who's witnessed this process happening in your shop choose to go somewhere else where nobody ever does that sort of thing? I mean, think about it even further. If this is documented digitally, timestamped, maybe even on video, does that protect your shop from a false liability claim that might surface later on? Lug nuts are easily tampered with. So yeah, there's the idea. I hope you can walk off with that one and start applying it. And my goodness, if you do and you start getting good at this, please send me a recording of this. Send it to the show. I would love to hear it. I'd love to play that audio. And this is exactly the type of thing I'm going to be working with some of my clients with. So pretty fun. I think it's also just a very simple way to ensure the consistent repeatability of high quality work. Let's correct something else here too. If this seems like a ritual or something else, it's like a ritual ceremonial. This is protocol. The same category as what I would see in aviation pre-flight checklist. You don't take off without it. You should not send a wheel back onto the road without this sort of thing either. But yeah, think about also what it means for someone brand new to your shop before a new hire ever runs a torque check or makes a single call on an inspection. If this protocol is already there, glued on ahead of them, telling them exactly how it's supposed to go and be done, they do not have to figure it out on their own. They don't have to watch and guess. It was already attached to the front of the process, waiting for them the same way that first leaf was already attached to the scroll before anyone unrolled it. And that's the promise of a protocol to a new employee. It's an onboarding process now that can be replicated. And the culture that replicates behind something like this is profound as well. And I would love to see that spread. through this industry. That is why I love to do what I do and talk about that here. All right. So if you want to start this sort of thing in your shop, here's the simplest way. Take someone who already knows your existing inspection sheet, have them speak the findings out loud while someone else takes the notes. I don't care if it's just your natural language out of the gate. Just start adding some structure into it from there and aim for speed once that structure holds. Do that. And here's what you get at the other end. A dialed-in routine that does not miss things. Inspections that are more thorough, more consistent, and more efficient. Estimates built by someone who has the full context of the inspection because they were part of it as it happened. And they also had the full context of the client's needs going into it because the data was being shared good in our organization to begin with as well. Guys, that closes a lot of loops for your client, for your team, and for that vehicle in front of you right now. Okay. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps, and I hope this helps. And if you want my help with this topic, please reach out. I am going to be forming a group that is going to be focused on this and many other fun things. And if you're interested in becoming a part of that group and that community, reach out to me here, speakup@craigoneal.net. Let's work through this and let's get a community of people working through it together. And hey, if you have other things you want to talk about here on the show, please reach out to me as well. I would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on any of this or debate me. I don't care. I actually really do want to do some more episodes where like there's a formal like debate. I think people have forgotten how to do that and disagree professionally and then hear and listen and respond professionally as well. It could be a lot of fun. If that sounds fun to you, I'm all ears. And hey, remember, listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can download the app at arpn.app and you'll hear all the shows. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato. Automotive Field Theory with Matt Fonslow. Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Thank you so much to our sponsors who make the show possible. Autoflow, Shop Dog Marketing, Inbound, ServiceAdvisorTraining.com, and Advanced Shop Leadership. So grateful for all of you helping me bring these messages out to the world and our industry. Now get out there, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Listen up. Speak up. I guess scribe up too. Yeah, let's do it.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.